Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Puck Off here on the Hockey Podcast Network. I'm joined by two great guests, the hosts of All Goals, No Misses, Lauren and Grace. I want to thank you both for joining me. Today has been a day, as they say. And I'm glad you guys were able to jump on with me. Hopefully Andrew's able to join us a little bit later. As two women who work very, very in-depth in hockey culture, Twitter culture, all the cesspools that mix together, today being a huge day where we finally get even the smallest of updates to the 2018 Canadian World Juniors scandal. We'll just encompass it all in that word. First and foremost, obviously the events of the day have unfolded in the manner that they have. But where are you? I'll start with Lauren. Sorry, you're just to my left on the screen. So we'll start with you. Where are you at? First of all, where were you at coming into today as far as knowing the story and kind of where things were just kind of left and seemingly forgotten by many? And now after a day like today where, yes, there's still a lot of speculation and we'll dive into that, but just how much does a day like today do for your psyche as a woman in the world of hockey?
Today was not a great day, personally. It was hard to, I'm a student, so while I'm like trying to focus on my studies, I also obviously am very involved with everything that has been going on recently. And so ever since the story initially broke, I've definitely kept my eyes on it from the beginning. And it's something where, unfortunately, it does feel like it goes away and then it comes back again, and it goes away and it comes back again. And in my mind, it has never gone away because I think about this so often. You know, as women, I think, I mean, obviously, and men too do experience it, but it's been a hard day with the memories that it brings back, and like the personal situations that everybody has gone through in their life. I mean, a lot of people were talking about it on Twitter, how it was, you know, as nice as it is to see that things are being done, It just keeps bringing back all these bad memories for people, and people were very vocal in it. They were sharing that all over Twitter, and it just sucked to see so many people that you know talking about their own experience, and I think that was like probably the worst part about today.
What about for you, Grace?
Yeah, I mean, I think that for just it's been, I think, especially meaningful, like that you invited us on here and to be able to be in this space, because already I feel like, you know, we're all part of the hockey world. Like, we know that it's very common for women and other people who are from certain communities to sort of get edged out. And, you know, for us, knowing that already when it's so hard to be a woman in the hockey world, this really adds to it, because it does, like you said, it becomes a cesspool. It brings out the worst people, the people who are so desperate to, you know, just keep it about hockey. And we're not going to talk about these other things, no matter how important they are. And I think Lauren's right that I think the hardest part, but also for me, the most important part has been the way that this individual who was subject to this terrible, terrible crime at the hands of these individuals, how her strength in coming forward and talking about it has already led so many people to talk about their own experiences and be open about these things, because it's something that's so hard to do and something that, you know, there's no script for. But to see a woman who, you know, 6 years after the fact is still fighting for justice and is still willing to do it, and seeing so many people who are supporting her and talking about it and advocating for it, has been really meaningful, because I think that, you know, Laura and I have said it before, that you do an injustice to everybody involved if you don't talk about it, if you aren't being open about it, if you aren't bringing it to the forefront, because we're the people who are going to make change happen, like from the outside, if we talk about these things and we say how significant they are. And so that's the one good part of today that I've found, is seeing the strength and resilience of so many people on Twitter and in my own life who are talking about it and being honest about it. And I just wish that other people would engage in that sort of discourse instead of some of the really harmful and ignorant takes that you see from a lot of people on the internet who would rather sweep it under the rug, would rather not talk about it. But
yeah, it's certainly the awkward, it's the uncomfortable, but at least in my experience, those conversations, when they're avoided, the worst happens. And whether it's the a situation that goes misunderstood and it just kind of blows it up into something that it doesn't have to. But for something like this, change, like the real meaningful change, can't occur unless we talk about it. And I wholeheartedly admit, I don't know what I don't know. And I'm sure there will be things that I will have said or will say that aren't exactly what I mean, in the sense that it's going to hit somebody the wrong way, because everybody experiences everything differently. And for something like this, like, I know someone who was falsely accused of not this grotesque of a situation, but in general, false accusations are just as bad as the actual events that take place, because everybody gets hurt from them. And so one of the things that makes it so awkward is right now we have so much where it's just speculation. We have five players from their teams have taken a leave of absence. They were all on the 2018 team. Those are facts. We don't actually know that these five are the ones who were in the room who committed acts. They could be being, a couple of them could be being called in as a witness. We actually don't know. Now, given the fact that there's the report that five players were told, hey, you need to surrender, and within 24 hours, five people stepped away from their job, 1 + 1 does equal 2, but I don't think we're at 2 just yet. We will find out more February 5th when the police department holds their press conference. But to your, you guys both mentioned it, the horrible takes. We want to stick it to hockey. Hockey Canada itself paid out over $3 million to try to make this go away. So we know something happened. And that's the part where people sitting there, at least in my opinion, correct me if I'm wrong, please, please don't hesitate to do that, where people sit there and go, well, we got to let the process play out. Well, part of the process has already played out. We know something happened. An organization like Hockey Canada doesn't cut a $3 million check because something may or may not have happened. They know something likely happened. And I think that validates the story, at least the accusations that players did something wrong.
Yeah. And I mean, as much as I, obviously being in my line of work and being in the legal field, it's, I have a great respect and understanding of the system and how it can be misplaced, how we do see miscarriages of justice. But, you know, to be very clear, like in this scenario, when it comes to violent crimes, and in this case, the most violent crime that one can imagine in which the victim survives, you really don't see people get charged unless the victim or the survivor in this case has been vetted very, very carefully, because she will be subject to some of the most intense and probing questioning, which she already has for sure, but in a court of law, she will be subject to some of the most intense and probing questioning that would crumble most people. And the fact that they feel confident enough in what they're doing, that they are willing to make these statements and file these charges, is an indicator that this is already going a lot further, because we're talking about, you know, a crime for which one in something like 20 people, or I think it's 1 in 100 or 3 in 100 that are ever found guilty of it in the United States, at least. But only like 1 in 5 are even filed reports, and then a slightly smaller number for those who have charges filed against them. And so the fact that it's progressed to this point, and especially when you factor in that it's been 6 years, I mean, that would kill most cases. That would destroy most cases. 6 years is an insane amount of time in the legal field. In fact, it usually takes like 6 years for a case to get all the way through the Court of Appeals. Now we're just seeing it start. And that, you know, is, to me, that's all the evidence I need as a law student and as a person to know that this story is very credible. And that I always am going to believe survivors. It's just my default, because I do think it's significantly more harmful to end up in a situation where you haven't believed a survivor, and they end up being right, or they end up telling the truth because of how very rare false accusations are. So I'm always going to default to that, but I'm all the more confident in that assertion, given that just the legal intricacies involved here. You don't see this sort of thing really ever, and you certainly wouldn't see it 6 years out. So for me, that's what is truly the most important thing to me, is just validating what should have been validated, I think, over the past 6 years, which was that this was real. This did happen, and somebody continued to suffer harm because of it. But there were people who were trying to push it under the rug and say it didn't happen. So I don't know. What do you think, Lauren?
Sorry, I keep having to mute myself because I am in Worcester and the cops are, you know, doing their thing every 5 seconds.
Gotta love those Worcester cops.
Yeah. But no, Grace, you're 100% right. And the longevity of this has to have been the most painful, other than when this actually happened, the most painful part of it, because like I said before, it's being brought up again and again. So you have to relive that again and again. And in the room, when they bring you in, they're going to make you describe everything. And they're going to make you almost, you know, there's going to be a side who is going to say that you're lying about this. And like, that is what makes people not want to speak out, because there is a huge fear that people are going to just look at you and say, this didn't happen to you. Like, you're lying about this. And it also has to do with the fact that a lot of people will look at the situation and be like, well, what about these people's lives? But it's like, what about her life? Like, she has been impacted by this for years. So it's just like, today has just been, I think, out of all of the days where news has broken about what the ongoing case, I think this has definitely been the hardest day. And I don't want to speculate, because I see a lot of speculation online. And I mean, like you said, 1 + 1 = 2. But until it's out there, I don't want to say anything, because like you said, God forbid somebody is taking a leave of absence for a certain reason. But the timing isn't great.
No, and like I said, 1 + 1 = 2. I'd say we're probably at 1.5 right now. We'll get the other 0.5 when the police department makes their statement, because the article specifically said that they were being told to come back to face charges. So we know charges are coming. We just don't know if it's coming to these 5 individuals or not. And the player over in Sweden, their team said he's going home to Canada. So that's a pretty damning statement right there, to at least say it might have something to do with this, while not saying that it has something to do with this. And they all have that one thing in common: the 2018 team, they were all on it. And so, and Grace, you made emphasis of the point. It's been 6 years. We also can't really feel too bad for these 5 individuals, because what, did they all of a sudden grow a conscience and now they feel bad for it? It's been 6 years. Not one of them over the last 6 years has sat there and said, hey, you know what? We did do something wrong. We fucked up. And you know what? It's okay to say you fucked up in life. That's actually one of the better things that you can do. Because if, let, in the hypothetical world where these are the five guys, if even one of them had come forward sooner and said, we messed up, we hurt someone, and we shouldn't have done it, it's a lot. I don't want to say forgive and forget, because it's not forgive and forget, but it's come together and move forward, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and I think that you point to an important nuance, and I think overlooked. I know that I tweeted about, like, we have to also hold responsible, like, the people at Hockey Canada who covered it up. But the other part that I think we might never see resolution for, and we might never, you know, find total justice for, is that probably a lot of people on that team and elsewhere in the hockey world knew exactly who these people were and knew exactly what had happened and didn't talk about it. And I think that that's a hard part to face, because it's a lot harder to hold people responsible for that sort of thing. But, you know, it's never a good thing to be complicit. It's never a moral thing to sit by and allow this sort of thing to go untalked about. So that part does suck. And I think that as much as we can celebrate, like, this as a form of justice and this as something that is necessary in order to really ensure that people face consequences for it, you know, it doesn't change that there are a lot of answers we won't get and a lot of concerns that will never be addressed. So it's sort of a double-edged sword, because the finality of it, I think, you know, with charges being filed, there will be a trial, or a guilty plea. I can't say anything about the Canadian legal system. I know that in America it'd probably be a plea, but at the end of the day, like, once that's over, it'll be good to finally, like, resolve this. But it doesn't change that going forward, hockey culture and people within the hockey world have to do better, and they have to step up. They have to be willing to talk about these things. So I think that that's the other part of it that is hard to ignore.
Yeah. And Lauren, you made a comment about not wanting to speculate and kind of bringing it all together. For instance, Dylan Dubé, the defenseman from Calgary, is a great example, because he was the captain of the team, and Calgary went out of their way to say that he was taking away from the team for mental health reasons. So it very well could be one of those, you know, the five players got wind that they were going to be told that they had to report. They got that from their lawyer, and one of them, all of them, someone said something to him where he found out, and he was like, it all just came crashing down for him. He feels responsible for all this stuff because he was the captain of the team. And, like, it could be that for him. It could be that for any of them. They just weren't the captain. So for him, it's a little bit more understandable given those circumstances. But we don't know. And that's the part where some of it is speculation. To be clear, they are innocent until proven guilty. Right now, it just looks really bad. And obviously, for legal reasons, no one on any side of things is going to come out with a statement that says something that will later be proven wrong. And that's why I know some people were ripping Gary Bettman and the NHL. Some people ripped Danny Briere earlier today because he held his press conference and he basically deferred everything to the league. The issue with that is the league has already issued a statement to all 32 teams to direct those questions to the league. So Danny Briere did what he was supposed to do, because the league is doing their own investigation, and Gary Bettman is a lawyer's lawyer of lawyers, and he will not have anything spoken that he doesn't want to have spoken. That's why there was a statement today from about an expansion team and not a statement about this, because that statement was probably well prepared well in advance. And then the police department came and smacked him upside the head with this. And he said, I'd rather not say anything than say the wrong thing, because it will come back to bite him in the ass if he does say the wrong thing.
I mean, to be fair, I do think that they knew about this a long time in advance. I know that technically the police just came out about it, but in a lot of cases you see, individuals informed ahead of time, and at least they knew for the last couple of days. I see the announcement about the expansion as nothing more than an attempt to deflect attention away from this coming out, because it did happen within the hour of this report, or this, you know, report that these charges were going to be filed.
Very much spoken by the NHL.
Right. I don't give them a lot of credit. I don't know, Lauren, if you feel the same way. I think you do. but
oh my God, it pissed me off. I don't think I've ever experienced more rage than I had when I had logged out of Twitter for a few minutes to take a break. And then I log back in and I see someone talking about an expansion. And I'm just like, what do you mean we're talking about expansion right now? First of all, we shouldn't be expanding. Second of all, there's so much going on right now. This is ridiculous. And then also to go back with citing mental health reasons, if it comes out that he's involved in this and he cited mental health reasons, I'm going to be so upset, because there are people who legitimately take mental health leaves, who legitimately need them. And all this does is not only look bad on quote-unquote mental health leave, but it also does nothing to destigmatize mental health in a whole. So that would just be...
That if that comes out.
That will be completely disrespectful to anyone in the NHL who has been through any kind of mental health leave or just any type of mental health issues at all.
Yeah, there was a tweet that I did see earlier in the day, and I don't remember who it was. I want to say it was Saravalli, but I could be wrong. There's been a lot of insiders tweeting stuff out, but basically the gist of it was, keep an eye on that situation, because the team wouldn't put themselves in a position to say, hey, it was mental health, if it wasn't, or if there wasn't connection to mental health. They very specifically put that in there. Again, maybe it's simply because he was the captain of the team and things are becoming overwhelming. He knows he's got to have to go testify against former teammates and all that's coming to fruition. It very well could be that. And that's why they worded it that way. They are the only ones who have added anything other than personal issues and no further comment. So, again, I don't remember who the insider was, but they were one of those credible, you know, Elliot Friedman, Frank Saravalli level insiders that I want to at least give them credit for pointing that out. And to your point, Lauren, if it were to come out that he was involved and this isn't just something else like what I was saying, there's going to be a lot of people who are even more pissed than they already are about this. And I will say to Grace's point, it was Chris Davis. Shout out Chris Davis, because as soon as he saw the public relations statement about the Smith Entertainment Group, I think he said it perfect. Jesus fucking read the room, Gary. Like, that was the ultimate. You, like, whether it was pre-planned or not, you just didn't read the room right.
I don't think read the room.
He's never, I think that Lauren's right. I think that what we've seen from the NHL has been a consistent strategy of deflect and ignore. And, you know, to an extent, it's worked for them. I think we're seeing it work less, but we see it any time in which the NHL does something morally repugnant or wrong, that their strategy to deal with it is to deflect it to something else, ignore it, or say that they're under the guise of staying neutral, or, you know, they don't want to respond to rumors or whatever. But at the end of the day, I mean, I think we're reaching a point, a tipping point for the NHL where they have to own up to these things, because it is going to start costing them. It has already started costing them. And I think that this will be the biggest indicator of that, is that whatever the fallout is, and the NHL has made clear that they have every intention of releasing their investigative report. Now they're in kind of hot water, because if, you know, whatever comes out in either a trial or in any investigative reports from the government of Canada, if it doesn't match with what the NHL found, the NHL, for whatever reason, says that they, and I think that probably not releasing it before this report came out was intentional, because now they 100%. can adjust their findings to ensure that they show they accounted for everything. Because like it is a bad look that this has gone on for 6 years, that they've been investigating it for at least a year and a half. And you're telling me you didn't know what players it was going to be. You didn't know who was named in, you know, the civil suit in which individuals were just named as John Doe's. Like, they did. And so I think that, again, we're seeing sort of the reckoning of their deflect policy and their deflect strategy. But I mean, Lauren's right. I mean, I don't think that Gary Bettman has ever dealt with anything with grace and the level of dignity, I think, that a lot of people deserve, which is unfortunate.
Especially in situations like this, I really hate to say this, but Gary Bettman does his job better than any other commissioner. He takes all the licks that the fans want to give, and he doesn't give a flying fuck about them. He cares about the Shield. And I don't think he handled this the right way, but I think exactly to your point, the reason why we've been looking at the NHL going, you going to say anything yet? No, we're going to wait until we have, because there's basically been three investigations been going on. The police investigation, the NHL's investigation, and the Hockey Canada investigation. Now, we already know that Hockey Canada is reinvestigating because they swept it under the rug the first time by trying to cut that check. So we know we can't really trust what they come up with.
Yeah, I mean, the civil suit, if you want to add in a fourth one, the civil suit requires discovery, subpoenas. I mean, you have to get a lot of information to come to a settlement of that size. So if you want to get pedantic, there's definitely like four.
essentially four. But for, you know, if the NHL wanted to take the stance, really what he should have said is they're employed by the NHL now. They weren't at the time of the incident. We will act accordingly once we have all of the information and we know, we know who's guilty in a court of law. And while it would not have been a fantastic answer, it would have been a more appropriate answer than we're just waiting for the police department and then we'll release our stuff, because the police department isn't going to release anything until after the trial. So hopefully, to what you mentioned earlier, there's a resolution of at least one party having a plea, so we don't have to wait for it to go to trial. The worst thing that Hockey Canada can do, the NHL can do, and the police department can do is sit here and go, oh, and everyone has to sign an NDA now. Because if that happens, I can't imagine the backstorm that's going to come out if we have just this and all of a sudden, oh, and NDAs are signed.
Yeah, I mean, at least in, the United States, in public cases, because they were all adults when this happened, the individuals involved, and because the victim in the case was also an adult, odds are it's going to be public record. It will be public record eventually, definitely at the end of the trial or at the end of a plea, but odds are before that, just because that's how it works. You can't really, it's not really a way to stop that, even with NDAs, unless it's for the purposes of an investigation. But I take it that the investigation is over, or at the very least what they need to file charges is over, and so there's not a whole like lot you can do to keep the names from coming out. So I know that they will, and like that, at the end of the day, I think that's the biggest problem I have, is that the investigators have this, you know, legal justification for not releasing the names, because, you know, they have this, they don't want to disturb the investigation or whatever. But these private entities, NHL, Hockey Canada, they don't have that, anything preventing them from doing it, except for the fact that it's easier not to. But I don't know, a lot of the takes I've seen online have tried to suggest or intimate that, you know, somehow, you know, and the NHL can't talk about it. They can. There's no reason they can't. Well, they can, but they won't.
To a degree, because there's probably something with the police department where they've said, hey, certain information can't get out there to maintain the integrity of our investigation?
Yeah. So, like, again, just on, like, the criminal, like, level, like, if an individual is the victim of this sort of crime, they are given a level of agency in which they can sort of, again, it's a very, I think I tweeted this, that sexual assault is a very unique crime in the United States and elsewhere, in which typically the victim has sole ability to close a case and prevent it from ever being investigated, if they so choose. And so, but unless certain people, I should say, have been subpoenaed specifically to testify to certain details, they wouldn't be able to talk about it. But others certainly can. Like, just legally, others can. Whether they will or not, I don't know. But they can, which is frustrating sometimes.
Definitely. Lauren, do you have anything to add?
I do think that, like, the NHL should have said something today. Like, anything. Like, I know they were like, oh, well, you should, every question about this case should be directed towards the NHL. But I do think they would have done themselves a lot of justice if they put out any kind of statement. But then again, any kind of statement wouldn't have been enough, because it wouldn't have been damning enough. But I do think, like, they posted about All-Star Weekend. They posted about Tate McRae. If I was Tate McRae and they were using me as a scapegoat, I'd be out of there immediately. Like,
ditch All-Star Weekend, just, not show up.
Yeah, it's just another way of them just, you know, using, not to mention using a woman to put in front of something that they are involved in now. It's just, like, all of their responses today have been so weird and, frankly, extremely disrespectful to anyone who has gone through anything similar to this. But to be honest, this isn't very different from what I would expect them to do, considering they've done it so many times. And I just have such an issue leaving anything to the NHL as, like, an investigation, because I don't think that they do anything well enough, and I don't think that they're ready for something like this, because they've swept things under the rug so many times.
Now, the list that I want, aside from the players involved, because, again, the players are the ones who are actually going to be charged with the events that we're going to say allegedly occurred, because we weren't there, or at least I wasn't there. And I do believe that something happened. I don't know what happened, but clearly there's enough evidence to prove something happened that shouldn't have happened, because, one, an organization like that doesn't just throw $3 million to make a non-issue go away. That just doesn't happen. It's not like they were writing a check for $30 and said, have a nice day, thank you very much. We're talking over $3 million. Also, this is an organization that did it years earlier in 2003, and that was proven as well. So they have a history of trying to make things go away, trying to cover it up. My question is who on the board who knew about it, who tried to cover it up? What is the list of names from the board who is going to get any sort of charges pressed? And why isn't there a conspiracy charge against them? Where's that list?
Yeah, if I had to guess, to answer your question, who, I'm going to go no one, just because I don't think that will happen. It should happen, but I don't think that it will. I think that it's already hard enough to prosecute a sexual assault case that, obviously, I think with proper investigation and, you know, an actual desire to do it, they could easily hold certain people accountable. But I think, you know, for any prosecuting authority or for any entity who finds out that its employees or members of it are responsible for something so heinous, It's easier to make a big show of like holding accountable just a few people rather than having to address the systematic issue at play. So I wish that there would be more repercussions for those people, but I don't know that there will be.
The reason why I bring that up is because we saw with the Chicago Blackhawks and the Kyle Beach situation, we saw the league come out and say, Bowman, you're done. I'm trying to think of the coach. You're done. You know, we saw the league come out and say, these people knew this. They messed up by not doing anything about it. I don't think anybody thinks that the league punished the organization enough, but that's beside the point. We can't go back now and re-punish them for it. It is what it is. It was very poorly done, but we know Quinville and that was the name I was looking for. Quinville and Bowman, they're out of the NHL right now because they hid something. The NHL can sit here and say, this is what we found from the board of what they knew. And while the list isn't necessarily going to result in charges against those people, that the NHL can't file charges against them. But the NHL can sit there and say, this is our game that we hold in high esteem. And, you know, we already ripped into them for doing away with special nights in the league, you know, Pride Night, Military Night, Cancer Night, all those, because they've already dropped the ball on hockey is for everyone. If they really want to come out and make a statement, releasing those names and saying, these are the people who are putting a black eye on our sport because they're not taking things serious enough and they're not doing enough to change the culture at the lower levels, that would go a lot further than anything else the league can do, at least in my opinion.
Unfortunately, I don't see a huge change personally under Gary Bettman, considering I just don't think he's done enough. I think, yeah, maybe he's done a good job of saving face on many occasions. I think that there are things that he could do. There are people he could talk to, people who he could bring in to talk to teams and emphasize the importance of really, you know, sensitive issues. And I don't believe that he is the person who will do that. I don't know. I don't know why he won't, because maybe we're just feeding into, you know, the old man fight hockey type that, you know, I know that he loves, but I just don't think that he's going to do enough. And I don't think he ever will.
Grace, anything to add?
Yeah, I mean, I think Lauren said it best. It's just, it already feels like we were pulling teeth to get any sort of movement on this, just for the people who were the subject of the investigation. And so I think that it's an even higher bar to expect anything else. And you know, given the track record of the NHL, I've reached a point where I don't expect a whole lot or any really hockey entity, because, you know, it's easier to take the silent route and they think that that makes it better. So, you know, as much as it hurts and as much as I hate it and as much as we need to see change in the future, you know, I can only hope that it would happen sooner rather than later.
Bet the action on the ice with DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now and use THPN. New customers can get $150 instantly in bonus bets for betting at just $5 on hockey. That's code THPN only on DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL. The crown is yours. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccp.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility and deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2023. All rights reserved.
So going in, knowing that the next step, I at least in my view, the next step is waiting until the February 5th press conference from the police department. Between then and now, from a woman's perspective, what can be done, whether it's by those in the media, those within organizations, players, what can be done to show some semblance of progress in the next 2 weeks that while today was not a win, I mean, I can't say it wasn't a win because we got information. We essentially have learned that the police department has narrowed it down to the point where they can charge five people. Now, we don't know if these are the five who will face charges. We could get news tomorrow that three other players have taken leave of absences, and that'll throw everything back in a blender. But the police department literally said, you need to surrender yourself because we are going to charge you with sexual assault to five players. So between now and who knows what we're going to find out on that February 5th press conference, what is something you guys, you women, would like to see to know that whether change is on the horizon, this case isn't going to get dropped off, it's not just getting swept under the rug. What are some of the steps that you would be looking for?
I don't know if you guys can hear that, but all right. Well, anyways, before I was interrupted by the ambulance, first off, I think that they need to start bringing in some women who, because there are a bunch of women out there who have, I know I had one in college. They go around and they talked about, it's like an open forum, talk about sexual violence, sexual assault, domestic assault, all those, you know, really important topics. You have to take a course about it. And like, it's all really informative stuff. I mean, yeah, you know what? People don't like to do that stuff. People think it's not a good use of time. I disagree. I think it's really important that all of these players know, like, you know, the basics of sexual assault. But I think as far as the media goes, all we can do right now is wait, obviously. But I think that a lot of people in the media are going for the clicks. They're going for read my story, you know, not using kind language, just trying to make it dramatized. And I just don't think that it has to be that way. I think that we can talk about this openly and in a respectful manner. And I don't think we saw that a lot today. I think a lot of people they wanted you to click on their story. They wanted you to hear from them first. It was like, you know, when we joke about the hashtag insiders, we really saw that at play today. So they just have to like start looking externally, because I don't think internally is going to be the solution.
Lauren put it the best. I mean, I think the big changes, they have to come publicly. They have to come openly, and we have to talk about them. You know, for all the people who, you know, for a lot of reasons can't talk about them. And so I hope that at least from the actual investigating authority, like, I don't know how much they can actually say about the specific people, or how much they'll choose to say, just because they, I mean, A, don't want to, or B, because they have legitimate reasons that they feel it would be better for their case. Because the last thing you ever want is for a guilty defendant to be able to claim that, you know, for whatever reason, the trial wasn't fair, at which point you can potentially have convictions thrown out. And that's, you know, not productive if the trial actually was just unfair for the fact that somebody was guilty. I'll understand that if they can't say those certain things for their own purposes and for the purposes of keeping the trial healthy and productive. But, you know, I wish that we could see some resolution, because I think we're finally seeing some of it. And I just like to see it all the way through for, you know, not only this survivor, but any survivor, anybody who's had to watch, you know, the person who has done something terrible to them walk free. And I think that they're owed that. We're all owed that, really. So I can only hope.
Yeah. And earlier today on Twitter, there was another person who made a comment. Her name is Kristen Ostrowski. I don't know if you guys saw her tweet, but she basically made it known that she had a sexual assault incident that was only recently made public. And she's at a point now where she can't talk about it. So her emphasis was basically, don't let this go away. And I think my takeaway from that is, as we get closer to that February 5th next event, this is something, like Lauren said, it's awkward. It's weird. It's not comfortable to talk about, but it happens way more than we want to admit. And unless we're having those conversations, like, yeah, it's awkward. It sucks. This isn't an episode that I wanted to do of the show, if that makes sense, just because we're not talking about hockey, but yet we are, because, you know, there's a whole nother situation of how does it affect their teams and, you know, their colleagues on the roster and so on and so forth. But that's not the number one pressing issue. I think we can all agree that, you know, Cal Pettersson is a little bit better off than without Carter Hart there than the victim if he did what supposedly happened, if he was involved. I think Cal Pettersson will be okay, a little bit more so than the victim in this instance. So while, you know, he may have lost a colleague out of the room and someone he cares about in the sense of he's my teammate, not the number one issue at hand.
Yeah, I don't think I've thought for a second what it meant to any of these teams if, you know, if the people who took leaves were charged. That's the word I was looking for. Because that's just not, I don't care. You know what? Like, if someone on my team does something just as shitty, I want them out. I don't care if they're the best player. I don't care if they're a fourth line grinder that, you know, sits upstairs half the season. It doesn't matter to me. What matters to me is that we are holding a space for the people in the sport who have experienced this stuff. And to the point of like talking about this awkward, it should never be comfortable. We should never feel like we are able to talk about this in a normal manner, because sexual violence will never be normal. It's one of the crudest forms of violence ever. And so I've seen a lot of tweets today about what is this going to do for X, Y, and Z? And I don't care. You shouldn't care either, because what about that player and what did they do to her? Like, let's talk about that first. Let's talk about the victim first. I don't care about your, you know, second liner. I really don't. If he did something wrong, he deserves to be off the team. He deserves to face the full consequences for what he did after being able to live his life freely for years.
And I think that's a huge part of it too, is it's been so long that as much as a player may want to come out in support of their teammate, how can you support someone who has known something? Who cares what the extent is? Like, you know, there's evidence that a player was invited into the room. They didn't know what was going on. They left after approximately 10 minutes. And okay, fine. Did they technically do anything in the room? Maybe not, but they still know something. And they've been sitting on that information for 6 years. And who knows? Maybe that was Dylan Dubé. Who knows? The people in the room know. And, right, you know, initially it was 8 people in the room plus the victim. So I don't know if these 5 mean that they determined that it was only 5, or if they just don't have enough to find out who the other 3 are. But whether it was 6, 10, 9, 10, only the people who were there know what happened. And that means we're going to have, let's say it was 9 people, 9 different stories of what happened. But that's still 9 people who didn't say anything for 6 years. And if you, and I went back at someone, I saw on Twitter earlier today, someone said, oh, well, maybe they just didn't know it wasn't consensual or whatever. For 6 years, being involved in a group text, trying to get her to drop everything, like, at what point can we sit here and go, they knew they did something wrong? Some point in the last 6 years, the $3 million check wasn't enough to give you a clue. The fact that she's still pursuing it isn't a fucking clue. Like, it's been 6 fucking years, and she's still sitting here going, no, this fucking happened. Credit to her, first and foremost, because she's the one that everybody should be getting behind. I'm also not going to sit here and crush her for maybe not being able to identify everybody in a picture-perfect manner, because there were things involved, alcohol, things of that nature. You have to rely on other things. Now, does that mean, you know, every single person in the room was guilty of the same type of infraction? No. Because if you go back and look at some of the investigation and you see some of the evidence, and I mean, there's been docuseries done on this, you know, documentaries that have been done on it. And that information is out there. I saw someone earlier today who said, well, you know, we don't know what allegedly happened. No, we do. We know what she alleged happened in the room. We have some evidence that's come to light. We know group text messages exist. We know that she was contacted to try to make it go away. We know that alcohol was involved. We know certain things. Let's not keep our head in the sand and act like we don't, because that's what makes it more frustrating than anything, because if you can't admit facts are facts, then we're not going to, it doesn't matter how awkward things get, we're not going anywhere.
Yeah. I mean, and I, like I said, and what you have reiterated, I'm not, and God willing, I'm not going to be a criminal lawyer. Although that's, the door is open for all of these things. I'll be a different kind of lawyer. But I at least know enough about evidentiary laws and criminal law in general, unfortunately, to say that, like, that 6-year time frame, the added in impact of alcohol being involved, and the high profile of the individuals who are potentially involved in it, all of those things are recipes for a losing case in any other circumstances. But there has to be some very, very serious evidence of this that we might never get to actually know the specifics of, because some parts of court documents will be sealed. But, like, you're right. I mean, there's no way that more people didn't know, that more people weren't talking about it. And that's what's so frustrating. Like, it's so good that it's happening and that there can be justice, but you hate that it had to happen this long. You hate that this wasn't something that could have happened 4 years ago, 5 years ago. And we instead have had to wait all this time. But more importantly, the victim in this case has had to wait this long and has had to spend so much time fighting for justice. 'Cause 6 years is a long time, like, for anything. I mean, 6 years ago, I was just graduating high school. Now I'm in law school. Like, it's a long time to be sitting and waiting for something like this to happen. I was talking to somebody the other day and I said how I graduated from high school in 2018. They're like, oh, you're so young. And I was like, well, I'm actually in law school now. Like, I'm a full adult. But I just ruining Chris's night here. But I think that, it just is such a long time. And, like, it's so important that we acknowledge that. And I hope learn from it going forward, and so that this sort of thing doesn't take this long in the future, you know, because it, so many problems could have been solved if we had talked about it and figured it out earlier. Like, even just, not even if we're just looking at, like, the victim side of it, so many things could have been solved for her, but people who were facing, like, you know, guilt or shame directed at them who had nothing to do with it and were not involved at all, never knew, still don't know, which I don't know how many of them, those people there are, but there are probably a few. I mean, I know a couple people. Jordan Cairo is one that wasn't even in London when this happened. He wasn't a leader on the team. So I don't know how much some of these people knew, but like, you could have saved so much if you had addressed this at the time, before it got out of hand, because now it's gotten out of hand, obviously.
Right. And like someone, I'm going to use Kale McCarr as an example, because he was literally off at college here in Massachusetts,
right,
quite far away when this incident occurred. But you mean to tell me that all of those players on the team, he didn't talk to any of them about it? He doesn't know anything. He can't attest to any of their character. He can't sit there and say to one of them, hey, maybe you should speak up about what you do know. Like, Kale McCarr has clout in the league, and he has now become complicit because he hasn't said a word. And that really sucks to say, because he's a goddamn good player, and he's someone who deserves respect around the league. But he's also the perfect person to come out and say, hey, this person knew about this. This person knew about this. This is what the locker room was like. There are certain things that he can say, or he can come out and say, I'm working with the authorities to make sure that justice gets handled. I'm not going to comment on it while everything is going on. And that's also okay to do, but at least then we have something from him. And you mentioned Cairo, similar situation. Like, the players who aren't involved, who had nothing to do with it, also aren't saying anything. And that's more of a problem, because, first of all, if I'm on that team and my entire gold medal is now tainted because of this situation, I'm doing everything in my power to say it wasn't me. I wasn't there. There are certain things that I can't say because of the legal battles that are going on. This is what I'm allowed to tell you. But none of them are doing that.
Yeah, and the only thing that I'll say on that before, like, I feel like Lauren often has more coherent, better ways of saying things than I do. But, like, at least on, like, a very personal, like, you know, level, I also don't want anything that, like, we say to come across as, like, you know, people who know certain facts about events happening. Like, there's a difference for me between being complicit in them and, you know, not talking about them for specific reasons. Like, I know in my own case, when I was the victim of a violent crime and a lot of people in my circle had to be contacted about it, nothing meant more to me than when those people kept it to themselves and just communicated with the police about it and not other people. So, you know, if we find out that these certain people who didn't know anything about it fully cooperated with the investigation and they didn't talk about certain things out of respect for the victim, like, in my case, I didn't even want those people to talk if they found out who it was who had done it. I didn't want them to talk about that either. I didn't want anybody to talk about it. And so I think that, like, that's the other side of it, is that I have no doubt that I don't know how many, but at least a few people on the team and involved in the situation likely are fully cooperating, hopefully all of them, but are fully cooperating, and in a lot of ways out of respect for the individual involved. Not out of respect for the people who allegedly perpetrated it, but out of respect for the person involved are not speaking on it otherwise. But I don't know. Yeah, Laura.
Yeah, well, it's also very true that a lot of players, I think maybe a few, maybe 6 months ago, a year ago, whenever this, I forget what the timeline was, a lot of them were talking through their agents, because anything that they did say could, you know, potentially put them in a bad spot. So I don't doubt that people did know. To what extent, I'm not sure, because as someone who's been a part of many teams, there's always kind of one group of people who does this, one group of people who does this. Like, teams aren't really as close as everybody wants to believe. So I don't doubt that within the team there are subgroups, and I don't want to use that as saying that the people who had some sort of insight on this are innocent or innocent in any way. Because, you know, everybody who knew plays a role in this. But I don't want to sit here and say that nobody did anything, because we just don't know that yet. And I know, like, a lot of people, when their agents came out, they said that they were cooperating with any investigation that was pending. And unfortunately, we probably won't know the truth behind that. It's just what has been said and what we are supposed to believe.
I will say this, and I know the Bruins game is started, so I want to get you guys out of here. I want to thank you guys both again for coming on. And I do apologize that at some point when I'm editing this, I do have to insert the insensitive commercial break. So I don't know where I will put that, but I don't want that to go unsaid, that I know I didn't break for one. I will insert it. It's not something I want to do for this episode, but I'm contractually obligated to do. So I want to throw that out there, because this is something that I don't think should be interrupted by a commercial, but I do have to put it in per my contract. So I apologize. I will say, though, I think we're all on the same page as far as, you know, we know what we don't know, and we know what we do know, and we want to tread as carefully as possible by simply, you know, yeah, 1 + 1 = 2, but we're not quite at that mark just yet. We still need a little bit more. It's damning for sure. But luckily, that first breath that we've been holding on to now for so long can be released. And yes, we have to take another one and hold it till February 5th, unless something breaks between now and then. But that's it. We have another step. I think that one of the most frustrating things over this last 6-year period for everybody involved, and fans of hockey everywhere, not knowing when that shoe would drop, was probably one of the worst parts about this story. Correct me if I'm wrong on that, either one of you, because, yeah, it's interesting to say from a team perspective of, oh, you know, we just lost this player because of the scandal, but it's completely different looking at it from, Grace, your perspective as someone who's been through something similar, going, you know, this is still ongoing. It's hanging over so many people's heads. And now all of a sudden, out of nowhere, this wasn't like, oh, we're expecting a statement now. It was an insider has found out this information. Here's a story. And everyone went, oh, shit, react.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, if anybody listens to this and takes anything away from us, we both said it on our Twitters, but that, like, the fact that it was so sudden and this coming out of nowhere, happening like this, can be really difficult for a lot of people, and a lot of people who have experienced this sort of thing, either who went through the justice system, never saw justice served, you know, and so any feelings and things that come up out of that are completely valid. I know that Lauren and I had our own, you know, struggles with the news coming out. And so, again, the fact that it had to happen like this, where it was out of nowhere, seemingly, after years of wondering when it was going to happen, can make it all the harder. And so my hope is that, you know, anybody who has any sort of reaction to the news, as well as the person involved themselves, just that they are able to find a sense of justice and a sense of peace going forward, because that's what we all deserve in this situation.
I think also, as people who have been, you know, unfortunately, through certain things, I think it's important to mention that we are, you know, there's a lot of safe spaces on Twitter, but I like to think that me and Grace hold a very special one, and I think I can speak for myself and Grace when I say that talking to us is always a open thing for anybody listening to this who has gone through something similar and needs to air it out to somebody, but they just don't know how to or who to talk to. Because obviously, unfortunately, we've gone through it. We've a lot of people, you know, like I said, we found out a lot of our friends have gone through it, and that was really hard to deal with. So yeah, just for people to know that, like, we are a space where you'll be heard and we will be able to communicate in a way that maybe helped us or is helping us get through things. But yeah, that's...
Yeah, and in the description, I'll put your show's info and stuff like that. That way there people can reach out to you guys individually. I mean, I there's only so much I can say by going my DMs are open as well, because there's, you know, I mentioned it before we started recording. The three of us could literally walk into the Garden for a Bruins game wearing the exact same player's jersey, and we will have three different experiences, because we're not only because we're just different people, but, you know, if you guys walk 30 feet ahead of me, now all of a sudden you guys are viewing everybody around you differently and people are viewing you differently. Like, it sucks to say that, but that is a reality, and it's a reality that I don't have to deal with, because I can walk through the causeway on my own and not have to worry. Whereas if you guys have been through something, you probably, I'm guessing, and I don't want to be insensitive about it, but you might be looking over your shoulder a little bit more than I am. Am I wrong?
No. I mean, no. I think all women, especially, I mean, have experienced even just any sort of negative attention at any point in their lives, and just what they've heard. All women sort of have a unique experience and perspective when it comes to, you know, being alone at night or being alone in daylight. So it definitely is important. And that's why I think it's we're really grateful that you are willing to bring us on and talk about it, because I do think that women add another perspective to things that should always be included in the conversation, especially a conversation like this.
There's experiences that I just can't attest to. And likewise, I can sit here and say, hey, but what really sucks is someone, a gentleman or a guy like myself, you know, let's say you're wearing a jersey and I want to compliment you on it. Well, you know, it's like, how can I go about doing that and yet just have it be, I'm just issuing you a compliment? Like, it's nothing more than that, but yet it's probably going to come off as more than that, and there's nothing I can do about it. That's another part of the awkward conversation that people don't want to have, because it's too much trying to view someone else's point of view, and we just don't like to do that.
Yeah, for sure. Lauren is just looking at us just like, yeah. It's a lot of our podcast ends up being just Lauren and I like looking at each other like, yeah, yeah. A lot of
that's
hours get cut
to
out.
Do. Look at Grace.
Yeah. Look at Lauren. Yeah, all I need.
But again, Bruins game has started. We're about 8 minutes in, so I'm going to let you guys get going. I to watch it. I do appreciate you guys jumping on, and hopefully we can have you guys on again on a happier note down the road, whether it's together or individually. But again, that perspective that you both have to offer, as awkward as the conversation is, I think it's very insightful to be able to look at it from that other perspective. And I think it's important that we hear that perspective, and I want to compliment both of you, because that's not something that you guys are, or either one of you, are quiet about. And that's not something that anybody should be. And it sounds like for both of you, correct me if I'm wrong, it's taken you both your own journeys, long journeys, to get to this point, but neither one of you plan to shut up about it. And that's a good thing.
I don't think you could ever get me and Grace to shut up.
Yeah, we're good at shutting up about things.
We were lucky to find each other, because you fill a room with us and nobody's ever going to stop talking.
Correct.
Well, I'm going to end this right now by just saying that all those people involved in the cover-up can just puck off.